Yes, we are in the WRTI Performance Studio and streaming live on Facebook with duo Ingolfsson and Stupo. Is that right?
Thank you. Thank you.
My pronunciation. You guys are coming from Berlin to play a concert at Curtis Institute of Music on Sunday and at Peabody on Friday evening. You both have solo careers, but you got together as a duo. When did you do that?
We met in 2005, and we met by chance at the violinist who was supposed to perform with Vladimir dropped out, and I was asked to substitute at Barge Music in New York, and we had very little time to put together a huge program with Schumann, Second Sonata, and Schubert, Brilliant, Rondo Brilliant, and it just worked. The combination of people, music making, and everything just worked. And so we decided after that that we'd try to play together some more. And through this chance opportunity developed our duo.
That's wonderful. And you're a duo in more ways than one.
Yes. We have, meanwhile, a 8-year-old son. So.
Now, Vladimir, you grew up in the Soviet Union?
No, that's correct. I grew up in a country which doesn't exist anymore. I can probably say that I grew up in the Soviet Union, but the most valuable experiences I have had in my life, I made them in France as I immigrated to France in 1984 and became very quickly a French citizen, which I am until today, and I'm very happy about it, because a lot of things which were not accessible in Soviet Union were extremely important to me outside of this country, like the pictures and the books and the light over Paris. And then I understood a lot about the colors in the French music, for instance.
And Judith, you grew up in Iceland?
Yes, I was born in Iceland. My father is Icelandic, my mother is Swiss. My family immigrated to US in 1980. And my parents live in Elkins Park, Pennsylvania, which is not very far away. My sister Miriam and I went to the Curtis Institute of Music, and I'm a very fortunate person to have had the opportunity to study there, and we're very excited to be able to play on their Curtis Presents on Sunday at recital.
That's great. Well, now we're getting a little preview, I understand, of that concert.
Yes. We can play the opening work for that recital. We're going to play 5 melodies of Prokofiev. Today we chose the last two pieces, number 4 and number 5. They are called 5 melodies because they are actually songs without words. They were written for soprano voice. They were apparently extremely difficult to sing with a huge range. And so after a few years, around 1925, he rewrote them for violin and piano. And I think I play it simply because I think they are true gems of music. And also because one of the main things I do with the violin is I try to make it sound like the human voice. And so this is like a dream come true.
Great. Thank you. That was beautiful. If you are just joining us, we are in the WRTI Performance Studio with Judith Ingolfsson and Vladimir Stupel, a duo performing on violin and piano live. I love the way you described the violin part in that piece as like the human voice. Are you a singer as well?
Oh, no, I wish. But I started playing this instrument when I was 3 years old because I felt that it was my voice. I've always identified with it being my voice. And I was actually taught by many great violinists, but one of them was Jascha Brodsky, who carried with him this tradition of the Franco-Belgian violin technique and idea. And part of this idea is to imitate the human voice with the violin. So and by the way, there is a huge connection with this Franco-Belgian violin technique because it's connected to the great violinist and composer and pedagogue Eugène Ysaÿe. Ysaÿe was the teacher of Jascha Brodsky, with whom I studied at Curtis, and he was also the violinist who premiered and commissioned many of the sonatas that we perform together and record, among them the sonata by Louis Vian, which we're going to play a bit of, and also, will be on the programs.
That's so interesting. And we were talking earlier about the idea that part of your mission as a duo is to expand go back to a traditional violin piano repertoire. Can you explain that?
Yes. So in the 20th century, over the course of the 20th century, especially the second half, there developed an idea that the violinist, it was the big soloist, and the pianist, in this case, in the combination that we have, would then become the accompanist. And this is something that I find, or we find, is counterproductive to much of the music that we get to play in this combination, because these are huge sonatas with the violin and piano parts being equal partners. And what's quite interesting about the whole development of a violin-piano sonata is that way back in Mozart's time, it was the other way around. The piano was the soloist and the violinist would accompany a little bit. And that was the evolution to the violin being elevated to an equal partner. And therefore, this music, especially these huge French sonatas that we love to play so much, have enormous piano parts that are, if anything, at least half of the whole equation. And they're like symphonic works for two instruments. And so this is what we like to also bring then to the more traditionally performed sonatas like Schumann and Brahms, because they are actually written exactly in the same way.
Well, it's interesting that there was a time where the violin and piano were more equal partners, and then in more recent years, the violin has become the soloist and the piano is an accompanist.
In this combination, of course, they're the solo pianists, and but then they play by themselves mostly.
Wow.
And then they are the big soloists.
Great. So the next work?
The next work, we're going to play the shortest movement of this very huge sonata by Louis Vian. Someone who, if you are an organist, you would know him as an organist and a very famous organ composer, but his chamber music is almost unknown. And we find that to be a pity because it's of just incredible value and very beautiful music from Belle Epoque. Just a small thing, he was a famous organist, played on the Wanamaker organ, by the way, here, and was blind. And so he fought with this his entire life. And this sonata that we're going to play was notated by his brother, who he then lost later during the war. He fell in the First World War. Yeah. So this is the Scherzo Intermezzo from this big sonata. Thank you.
If you're just joining us, that was music from Louis Vierne's Sonata for Violin and Piano, played live in the WRTI Performance Studio by Judith Ingolfsson and Vladimir Stupel. You've been playing for us pieces that are highlights of the program you'll play at Curtis and Peabody, I understand.
That's correct, yes.
But you also have a new CD out called Blues, Blanc, and Rouge.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, The centerpiece of this CD is the Ravel Sonata, of which the second movement is, of course, blues. But the other two pieces are very French sonatas, the Poulenc Sonata, and also a very unknown sonata by Ferroux. And we decided to then just highlight the three colors because it makes for a nice little title. But these are all sonatas written after the First World War and have a completely different style, compositional style, and some of them bordering on more of the impressionistic elements of and jazz influences also. And the Poulenc as a composer had a lot of influence from jazz, and the sonata of Ravel has this blues movement, which in which he incorporated elements of jazz that he had studied and made it into an extremely French piece. And this is what I find fascinating about this particular movement. And also, again, I personally think that the violin part is a singer. This can be argued about. Lots of people say it's a saxophone. but I personally like to think of it as a singer who's actually singing a song without words, kind of like the Prokofiev idea. And the blues sentiment is very strongly communicated in this piece.
Great. Well, let's hear it. Great. Thank you. That was great. It really is wonderful. You can hear the jazz and you can hear the French influences. It must be fun to discover a lot of repertoire that is not as well known, but it suits your instrumentation so well.
Yes, we're always fascinated by how much repertoire there is written for these two instruments, which can and should be played more often. Of course, maybe part of the reason they're not always played so much is because they're difficult to put together, and so you do want to have an ensemble feel to the two instruments like this, like as if you had a string quartet. And there are countless more discoveries there for us to take a look at, and I'm always looking forward to the next piece that we unearth.
Well, I understand that you are founders and artistic directors of festivals in southern France and Berlin, and you curate concert series in France and Berlin. Does that give you an opportunity to program a lot of this music?
Absolutely. We love to incorporate the duo repertoire, but often also other larger ensembles into our programs and talk about these very important, not only composers, but also people. The history, which is connected to these people, because it gives us a very strong connection to the times we live in now. And so this is all connected in many ways.
I was talking with someone the other day. We were talking about how music is not a separate part of life. Music is really the expression of life. And by playing this music, you can kind of connect with the people from other centuries, but also from today. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. We're moving from one time capsule to another and connecting with the world that they lived in. And that is a fascinating journey. Like, we're time travelers, really. Not only world travelers, but time travelers.
Well, we're happy that you made the time to travel to WRTI's performance studio today.
It was our pleasure. Thank you.
And I want to remind listeners, and thanks also to our page turner, Sira, a Temple graduate. I want to remind our listeners and our Facebook viewers that you will be at Peabody Institute of Music on Friday evening at 7:30, and then at the Curtis Institute of Music on Sunday at 3 p.m.
That's correct. Thank you so much.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And good luck with everything, and come back soon.
We will. Thank you.
Thanks. Back to you, Bliss.